turn with me, if you would, this morning for a short time to 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 21. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 21. And Attai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." The words of Attai to King David, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." We come to the first day of a new year, and it becomes me, first of all, on behalf of myself and Katrina, to wish you all and pray for you all that you have a good and a spiritually prosperous new year. We pray nothing but good for you as God's people. Over yesterday and today, we have sought to look at three texts, or two yesterday and one text today, that I hope are appropriate for the end of one year and the beginning of another year. Yesterday morning, we saw Jesus Christ arising, coming down to the borders of Judea. He's making his way to the Mount of Olives, to the very place where David goes to as he leaves Jerusalem. Jesus Christ comes to Jerusalem. He's making his way to Jerusalem, where he will be at the Mount of Olives, and he will enter into Jerusalem with his disciples, and there he will suffer and die. Last night we saw how Absalom, in the first part of 2 Samuel chapter 15, how Absalom was a man who sought to take people's eyes away from God's chosen king. We saw all the devices that he used to usurp God's king. We see that the devil is always, at the beginning of this year today, the devil wants to usurp and to take the eyes of God's people away from God's true king. Not David, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Absalom sought to take God's people away from God's true king. He usurped the authority of David and rebelled against David. Today we want to carry on that same theme, but this time looking at David. And David is not coming to Jerusalem as Jesus was, but David now has to leave Jerusalem because of the rebellion of Absalom. He has to arise, and he makes his way up to the Mount of Olives, to Olivet. He then makes his way down the other side and away from the city. And at this, the first day of a new year, we want to look at some of the lessons that we can learn from David, and also from Attai, who went with David. Let us first of all look at David and see what we can learn from David as we enter this new year. And there are two things that we notice with David as he gets up and leaves Jerusalem. And that is, first of all, his contentment, and secondly, his commitment. His contentment and his commitment. When you see David this day, that one man has said, and I think correctly said, that there is no day in the life of David, or indeed in the life of the children of Israel in the Old Testament, that is so particularly recorded for us. All the events of the day that unfold, from David discovering that Absalom, his own son, had rebelled against him. He was told that Absalom had taken the heart of the people and he had rebelled against him. And from that time, from David leaving, going to outside of the city, who he meets on the way up, onto the Mount of Olives there, and then going out the other side and leaving Jerusalem. Every aspect of this day is recorded for us, what exactly happens. And there is perhaps no other day in the whole of the Old Testament that is so described for us as this day. And what a day that was for David. Perhaps little did he know when he began that day what was ahead of him. We're in the beginning of a new year, and none of us know what's ahead of us. Not one of us know what tomorrow may bring. It may bring you joy, it may bring you sorrow, who knows? When David arose that morning, little did he know that that was going to be a tumultuous day in his experience, because he was going to be told that Absalom had rebelled against him and that he would now have to leave Jerusalem. David writes Psalms 3, 4, and 5 at this time. We're singing from all these three psalms today. We've sung from Psalm 3, we've read Psalm 3. That was written by David when he had to leave. And you can see, as he writes it, the sorrow that is in his heart. You can see the trouble that it's all causing him. But the one thing you fail to see is David complaining about God. David doesn't complain about God. David sets his trust in God. He sets his trust in the will of God. It's as though David is saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. What resignation and what submission David has to the providence of God. He arises and he says to his servants, we must flee, we must go. He does so because he's fearful that the consequences of all that's going on will spill out over in the city and that Absalom will come and destroy the city. David arises and he goes from that place. And it reminds you, does it not, of the portion of scripture that we read together in Matthew's Gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ. David was a sinner. David had sinned with Bathsheba, and David knew that although many sorrows would come upon him that were not directly perhaps related to his own sin, yet he knew that Nathan had said to him that there would be trouble in his own house. David was a sinner. David was repentant of his sin. But David knew that every sorrow that came upon his life was because there was sin in this world. There is sin in this world and it will cause all manner of trouble. Jesus Christ came into this world. He went down towards Judea. He was heading for the Mount of Olives. He was heading for Jerusalem and he had no sin. He had never sinned. He was wholly harmless without sin. And yet when he comes into the Garden of Gethsemane, how troubled he is in his soul because of the cup that he would have to drink. He knew exactly what was coming. You don't know what's coming. Jesus knew exactly what was coming. He knew that he'd had to go to Jerusalem, be crucified. He knew that he had to drink the cup that the Father had given him and that he would have to drink it to the very dregs. And yet he says, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord Jesus Christ is resigned and submits with full contentment to the will of God the Father. Now let me ask you this question today, and I would like us all to answer this question honestly. Over the past year, how many times have you spoken against the providence of God? You may have had hard providences, you may have had hard things come your way, and it's as though we rebel against the dealing of God with us. The Apostle Paul says, godliness with contentment is great gain. To be content When the soldiers come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they ask him, and what should we do? What is it that we should do? Jesus says to them, do no violence. Don't accuse anybody falsely. And be content with your wages. The Apostle Paul said that he had to learn contentment. He had learned to be content in whatever situation he entered into. It appears that when David left the city, although he was troubled, and although it caused him great grief, yet he submitted to the will of the Lord. As we enter into a new year, let us learn to submit to all of God's dealings with us, humbly, knowing that we are sinners, knowing that the Lord has a purpose in it all. May we be content. May we humbly submit whatever the Lord brings our way in this year. May we say with the Lord Jesus Christ, if it be possible, but not my will, thy will be done. He was content that it was the will of the Lord. But the second thing we notice about David was his committing of his future into the hands of the Lord. Look at what he says in verse 25 and 26. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again. He will show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. David was committing his future into the hands of the Lord. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. How good it is that when God deals with us in his providence, in whatever new circumstance may come our way, that they humble us and that we say, we will trust in the Lord. Whatever he doeth, let him do. Because you see, as David left Jerusalem, it wasn't so much whether the ark itself came with them. That wasn't so much David's concern. It was that the Lord himself would go with David. That the Lord would be with him. That the Lord would deal with him. And whatever the Lord would have for him, David would say, so let it be. Wonderful when you come to the beginning of a new year, when you are able to commit your ways to the Lord and to say, and to echo the words that David here says, let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. In the past year, you may have had many experiences. In a coming year, you don't know and I don't know what experiences we may have. But it's good for us when we're able to say with David, whatever he doeth, let him do what seemeth good in his eyes. As long as the Lord was with David, he was able to commit his ways unto the Lord. David then had contentment, and David was committing his future unto the Lord. But secondly, let us look at Attai. That's particularly the text that we are coming to today. To Attai. And Attai coming to David. When you see David on this day, what discouragement, what there was around this day to discourage David. You imagine the discouragement that he now has. When Absalom, thy son, has rebelled against thee. He's taken the heart of the people and he's now rising up against thee. He's going to take the throne. What a discouragement. My friend, in the past 12 years, what discouragements have you had? What discouragements, what has come our way perhaps to spiritually discourage us? Have you had spiritual discouragements in your experience? I'm sure you have. But I want you to notice today one thing. That when the Lord discouraged David, he also gave him encouragements. At the same time, he gave him these tokens of encouragement. David is told that Absalom has rebelled against him. And David says to his men, come, we need to leave. And he's told, 600 that were with you, the veterans, they're coming with you. They're with you, David. What an encouragement. He has a discouragement in his own family, but he has an encouragement among the 600. And he makes his way to the outskirts of the city. And who's the first person he meets as he goes to the outskirts of the city? A Philistine. Not even an Israelite. A Philistine that has come to Jerusalem only recently. Ittai. And Ittai says, David, I'm coming with you. What an encouragement, eh? What an encouragement in the midst of it all the Lord gives to David. Zadok and Abiathar, they're there as well. They're going with him. But as he makes his way up the hill, up to the Mount of Olives, word comes to him. Another discouragement. David, we've heard Ahithophel. He's with Absalom. What a discouragement. There he is going up the Mount of Olives. He's got his head covered. We are told that he's in his bare feet. He's walking up there. His head is down. David, Ahithophel, the counselor. Your close friend, your close counselor. He's with Absalom. Oh, dear. And he gets up to the Mount of Olives. And there's a Hushai. Man that's not able to go with David. But there's an encouragement. There's a Hushai up there when it comes to him on the top of that mount. Hushai comes. And as David begins to leave the Mount of Olives and go down the other side, there's going to be a Shimei cursing him. But at the same time, there comes a Ziba. The house of Saul. David says to Ziba, Ziba, where's the sons of Mephibosheth? Oh, they're in Jerusalem. They think that they're going to get the kingdom back again from their father. But what about you, Ziba? Well, I've brought you food. I've brought you provisions. That your men may eat and drink wine. Here are provisions for you for the way. You see, in the midst of all the discouragements, the Lord is giving David these tokens of encouragement. My friend, in all the spiritual discouragements that you may experience over the past year, and any spiritual experiences that you have that will discourage you over the coming year, remember this. The Lord gives you tokens of encouragement in the midst of it. But let me remind you of one other thing. David had these encouragements. The Lord will not leave you without your encouragements. But remember the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he left from there. And they all deserted him. They all left him. When thinking about this, the words of Psalm 69 came to my mind. Reproach hath broke my heart. I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters, but I found none. David had his comforters. The Lord Jesus Christ had none. As he went to Calvary's cross, he trod the winepress, and he was alone. His disciples, the sheep, were scattered abroad. One of them denied him with curses and oaths. There was no Ziba there. There was no Hushai there. There was no Attai there. There was none to give him comfort. As you come to another year and as you experience spiritual trials and tribulations, remember the tokens of comfort that he gives to you. And whatever it is that you come to a new year and it's maybe lying heavy on your heart, remember the Lord himself says, I will be your comforter. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you when you go through the waters. And when you go through the fire, I will be there. He will not even leave you when you pass through the valley of the shadow of death. He will be there to comfort. Encouragements. And what an encouragement that Attai is to us even today. When you come to look at Attai, there are three things that you see about this man who came to David and expressed his devotion to the king. First of all, here is his faith and his trust being tested. Attai was a Philistine. We know from reading it that he had just newly come to Jerusalem. And we know that no doubt he had found great comfort and great encouragement and great love from David. Now he comes to David, as David is just about to leave the city. He's coming to the outskirts of the city and Attai comes to him. And he says, I will go with you. But his faith will be tested. It's a wee bit like Ruth, isn't it? That's what it reminds me of. Because David says to him, why come with me? You go back. You go back to the city. You don't need to come with me. Whereas thou but camest yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. His faith is being tested. His love is being tested. Does he really love David? Does he love David enough to go with him and follow him whithersoever he will go? What a test of the faith that we have when we come to the beginning of a new year. The Lord Jesus says to you, do not come and follow me. Go back, stay where you are, unless you love me enough to follow me whithersoever I will take you, and you will go. Is that the faith that you have this day at the beginning of a new year? Like Naomi saying to Ruth, go back to your own people. Stay with your own people. But Ruth couldn't go back. Forsake me that I would ever leave thee. Thy people are my people. Thy God, he is my God. Where thou diest, I will die. Attai has a test put upon his faith. Does he really love David? Does he really love David enough to leave Jerusalem and to follow him wherever David would go? My friend, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ today? That wherever he would go, wherever he would lead you, then you will say, I will go and I will follow him. There was another test. All the circumstances that David would bring him into. He would take him out into the plains. There was Jerusalem. There was comfort. There was his home that he had made in Jerusalem. To follow the Lord Jesus, to follow David, would bring him into hardship. He would have to forsake all the pleasures of this world and all the comforts that he had. He would have to go out into a difficult place. All the perils that that would involve, and all the worldly comforts. And not only that, all the example of those that you would have thought would have been and should have been more loyal. In front of Attai is Absalom, Ahithophel, all these men of some renown who are now against David. My friend, supposing the world today says what it says about Jesus Christ, what think ye of Christ? Not what does the world, not what does Absalom think of King David, not what Ahithophel thinks of King David, but Attai, what do you think of David? What kind of love and faith do you have in the king? And that's the test that was put upon Attai. And that's the test that is put upon every one of us here today at the beginning of a year. What is your faith and what is your love of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to pick up your cross and to follow him? That's what Attai was being asked. Attai, you say that you will come and follow me. But are you willing to pick up your cross? Leave Jerusalem. Go out into the wilderness. And go whithersoever I will take you. Are you willing to do that? And that's the test of our faith today. But the second thing, if it's faith that's tested, it's faith that is now declared and made plain. Confession is made with the mouth. And belief in the heart unto salvation. What a wonderful testimony you have here in the mouth of this man, this Philistine. As the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth. You're my king. Absalom is not my king. David, you are my king. I don't have another king. What a sad portion of scripture it is when you read of the children of Israel saying, we have no king but Caesar. We have no king but Caesar. Attai says, I have no king but David. God's people today say, we have no king but Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And how freely he gave that. Attai wasn't forced. Did anybody come to Attai and pin him up against a wall and say, you better follow David. You better come after him. Nobody came to Attai and forced him to make the declaration he made. He freely gave it. And my friend, you will not force anybody to be a Christian. And it's not right that I should try and force somebody to be a Christian. Only grace will make a Christian. Only grace could bring from the mouth of this foreigner, hardly there, to bring this testimony, as the Lord liveth, I am now someone who believes in your God. As the Lord liveth, as Jehovah is alive, you are my king. Surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or in life, I'll be there. What a testimony. What a wonderful testimony to the faith of this man and to the commitment of this man, an honest and sincere commitment to follow David, even supposing he were to die in the process. That's the faith. That's the challenge of his faith. You see, faith is tested, but faith is now declared. And what a faith. But the third thing is that his faith is acknowledged by David. Isn't that wonderful? See these words of David. Four words, and they're wonderful words. You can pass over the scripture and you can read through it, and you think, but you know, there are four words that are wonderful words in this text. And I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about them. And they're the words of David: go and pass over. Four words. Go and pass over. You're one of my servants. Go and pass over. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples: come, follow me. Peter, I know that thou lovest me. Feed my sheep. What a wonderful assurance that would give to a tie. When you see the difference between Absalom on the one hand, who's of the very blood of David, as we said last night, no blood relationship's going to save you. Not even being the son of David would save you. But here's a Philistine, a tie, and he's saved. He's not even a blood relation of David. But he has David in the heart. He loves David. He loves David's God. And David says, go and pass over. Be assured, I'll be with you, and you will be with me. What a wonderful assurance. What a wonderful later on that Attai is given responsibility in David's army. He's given wonderful responsibility. David acknowledges this man's faith, this man's commitment. And he enters into all the blessings of David's kingdom. David blesses him. Friend, on that day that he follows David, what a hard day that would be for him. But it was made easy because he loved David. But then the blessings that followed. He would go out into the wilderness with David, but he never looked back the day he followed David. My friend, the day you follow Jesus Christ, maybe a difficult day, maybe a hard road, but you'll never look back. And you'll never lament the day, the year, the week, the month, whatever day, year or month it is, you'll never forget the day the Lord drew you and you followed him, because blessings of David were given to Attai. And the blessings of David are nothing in comparison to the blessings that God's people have when they follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us then, no matter who we are today, as we begin this year, may we first of all be content. Learn that contentment. If we are God's people, let us learn to be content in whatever situation we are in. The way David, the Lord carried him through all these difficulties and ultimately blessed them to him. Let us be content. Let us trust in the Lord, committing this year. And whatever years the Lord may have, may it be that we would say, the Lord do to us as seemeth good in his eyes. And though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And if we, like Attai, have not yet come to behold and to love King David. If we haven't come to behold and to love David's greater son, the way Attai loved David, then let us come. Let us go outside of the city walls. Let us go outside of Jerusalem to the place perhaps where Attai met with David. Let us go outside the city walls to Calvary's cross and behold a bleeding Saviour. Behold the Lord Jesus Christ suffering and dying in the room instead of sinners. And may the love of God and the love of Christ be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that whatever and wherever he would lead us, we know that we will have trials, we will have a cross, but we are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have troubles, we will have trials, but in the midst of them all, he will give us these wee encouragements to see us through. May it be then that we would behold Jesus Christ heading towards Jerusalem, heading down to the coasts of Judea. May we be warned at the beginning of a year that Absalom, just like Romanism, a false religion that will take you away from the true king. Absalom, how like David he would have been. Yet he was false. Romanism is false. There is only one king, Jesus Christ. And that king came to Jerusalem, ascended the throne, and now he says, come, pick up thy cross, come and follow me. Let us pray. Gracious and ever blessed Lord, we pray that as we begin this new year that thou would bless us, that we would follow the Lord and that we would follow him like Caleb, that we would follow the Lord fully. May it be that we would be like Attai, who expressed his love for the king, that even though there were much to discourage, yet when he followed the king, he was given that assurance, go and pass over. Bless us now. As we pass into this new year, we pray thy hand upon us. Give us grace to look to thee. Pardon us our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll conclude singing in Psalm number 5, the tune is Moravia. Psalm 5 from verse 8 to 12. Because of those mine enemies, Lord, in thy righteousness, do thou me lead, do thou thy way make straight before my face. For in their mouth there is no truth, their inward part is ill, their throat's an open sepulchre, their tongue doth flatter still. O God, destroy them, let them be by their own counsel quelled. For them, for their many sins cast out, for they against thee rebelled. But let all joy that trust in thee, and still make shouting noise, for them thou savest. Let all that love thy name in thee rejoice. For, Lord, unto the righteous man thou wilt thy blessing yield. With favour thou wilt compass him about, as with a shield. The tune is Moravia, Psalm 5, from verse 8 to the end. Because of those mine enemies, Lord, in thy righteousness.
Because of those thine enemies, Lord, in thy righteousness, do thou lead to thy way, and sit before thy face.
are the intimations, the collection from today. It will be given to the Barnabas Fund. The prayer meeting is on Thursday at 7:30. There will be a prayer meeting in the church here on Saturday at 8 a.m. And the services next Lord's Day are at the usual hours. Prayer meeting at 10:30, the service at 11 o'clock, and the prayer meeting at 6 o'clock, and the service at 6:30. These are all the intimations. They are, God willing, we'll conclude with a benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, rest on and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.